You know, I just want to say, I'm looking at Jay here, and you think, yeah, you know, that's Jay, and Jay moves and this, that, and you know, and wherever. But some of Jay's story, it just fascinates me, and I hope, and I don't want to embarrass you, but I know Jay went through Bible college, and he went through, he's doing a degree now at the minute, and he struggled really bad in school. He struggled with dyslexia, he struggled with handwriting and all of that, and he just showed me two words that the Lord gave him this morning, and I just looked at his handwriting, because he had shown me stuff before, and the difference, Jay, I just want to say the difference in the handwriting, and just even in the grammar of how faithful God is, that he cares about even how we write with a pen. That's how faithful God is. So, Jay, you're a man of God. I want to say that in front of this congregation this morning. And we just want to take any restrictions off of you. And we just want you to flow in security, you know, because there's no insecurity here. So we just want you to deliver and break that bread open that the Lord has given you for us.
Amen. It's an honor and a privilege to be up here to bring God's word. And I remember I was in Bible college, and the Lord done it, showed me again. The Lord gave me a picture, just as Sharon was saying, you know, about God is with us in everything. And I seen his hand in my hand as I was writing, you know. And so glory to God, you know. And so the message I have today is God is building his house for his glory, you know. And just that we be focused this morning and that our ears would be open to hear what God is saying, you know. And so, Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for each other, Lord God. Father, I just pray for a blanket of your peace over every single person in this place, Father. Father, that everything that you want is to be heard today, Father, into every heart, Lord God. Father, I pray that hearts to be receptive, Lord God. Father, hearts to be open to receive, Lord, what you want to say, Lord. What you want to deliver, Lord. What you want to give to your children, Lord. As it was said down, God gives good gifts to his children. And the Bible says that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you ask Jesus into your life, you become a child of God. And that's what we are, children of God. Amen. Over the last while, you know, God speaks to us in many ways. And the Lord spoke to me. And I'm part of Liberty Church over 12 years. And it's been a journey. But over that time, you know, the church has grown. The church is in different locations. And as people planted here in Liberty Church, we've all grown, you know. And God has deposited things within us, you know, which he calls out at appointed times. And I remember I was in the church. I came to the church first, and I gave my life to Jesus. And I started experiencing what the Bible said. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I started having visions. I started having dreams. All these things were reality to me. They were real. And it built more faith into me, and it deposited more of God into my life. But just to know, like, that God, I believe today, is going to call out things in people. God wants to give gifts to people today. And he also wants to call people out, you know. I got a word over my own life recently about a glory train, you know. And there was a word given to the church that there's a train coming. You know, God speaks in symbolic sometimes of different things, and that can represent his power, his glory, and different types of things. But there's a guy, he's a prophet, Bob Jones, and he had a vision going back a number of years ago. And I just want to share it with the church. And, you know, he says, and this is the vision I had. The train had come and I boarded it. I had a ticket and a seat, and I saw the conductor come by, and I asked him, what is this train? And he said, this is the glory train. And I said, where are we heading? And he says, to any city that wants it. What is the glory of God? And how can we see his glory restored? In essence, God's glory is His manifest presence, the substance of His nature and character in tangible form, His Holy Spirit. And when His Holy Spirit comes upon a region in great multitudes, everything changes. Like that song this morning, everything changes when God's presence comes. Multitudes are swept into the kingdom of God, overwhelmed by both the profound awareness of His love and profound conviction of their need for Him. Healing breaks out, often spontaneously. Social justice becomes dramatically advanced, and revolutionary interventions are birthed to secure a better future. And just was thinking, even in Jeremiah 29:11, you know, Israel was in a terrible place at the time, but God came back to them, and He says, "For I know the plans, or the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future." And that's God's heart for the world, and it's God's heart for His people. I remember years ago watching a video, it was called Transformations, and it was over in different parts of South America. And it was where all the pastors and all the leaders and all of them came together, and they start praying and they start fasting, and they got God's heart. And when they got God's heart, they continued in that, and they continued in worship, and everything broke over the whole city, and all of them came together in worship and praise. And all of the, in that area, all of the police stations shut, the prison shut, murders were cut to nothing, to zero, where they were probably 30 a day or more. Everything changed because God came to town. Everything changed. And, you know, people have this term, people have termed the accordance revivals or outpourings or even Pentecost to describe the overreaching moves of God. And I prefer to call them awakenings. When things are dead, you know, God makes them alive. You know, and because He's a good God, and that's why He came. He came to give life. And as that word said earlier, life in its fullness. The Lord has got me a number of times to speak on Ezekiel. And I've grown a real love for the book of Ezekiel. Just the way God speaks to him, you know, and God shows him things and in visions, and again gives him the understanding of what He's shown him. And that's for each one of us. God wants to reveal things to us, show things to us, but also give us understanding of what He's shown us. Because we're all in the boat. We're all on the train. Because that's the train that God wants each one of us to board. The dry bones. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley. It was full of bones. Then He caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there was a very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. I was just thinking of that, our society today. You know, there's many things that are open to our eyes. There are many valleys that are open before us, that we see many different communities, many different types of people within society. You know, that are bones. We look at them, we think, is that possible for God to break through? Is that possible for God to intervene and to change that whole thing around? But it is possible. Because God rang through Moses, through His Son, Jesus Christ as well. But through Moses, He delivered all of His people in a day. Again He said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, and thus saith the Lord God to the bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and put flesh upon you and cover you with skin, and put breath and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, suddenly a rattling, and a bone came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, and the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Also He said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, as he commanded me, and breath entered into them, and they lived. And that really hit me, and they lived, you know? And that's what God, for each one of us, but also for our city, and also for our nation. And I believe that's what God is saying. That his breath is going to come. And it's going to breathe on the slain. It's going to breathe on people that are in darkness, that are in dungeons, that are in desperate situations that only God can open up. That only he can come in and free them. Because he's the one that sets the captives free. People are lost. Like, I work in the homeless sector. And, you know, I was in town even last week. You see all different, as I was saying already, different types of people. You know, the Bible says that they're lost. The Bible says that the God of this age has their minds blinded, that they can't see the gospel. And even with identity, people are trying to fit in, people are trying to belong. You can look at the whole world, and that's what people are trying to fit. Where do I belong? What's my purpose? Where am I going in life? And what I had a picture of a big lion. And he was awesome, and he was powerful. And like Narnia, you know, the film where Aslan comes back, when all the people, they're dead, and he comes and he breathes on them, and life is restored. And that's what I felt the Lord was saying within this nation. I was telling Sharon before the meeting, I was out in Finglas on Friday getting the car serviced, and I was walking up the road, and I was just starting to sing a worship song. There was a man walking behind me, about 5-6 feet behind me. And as I went, before I went by him, I said, that man's broken, you know. So I started to slow down. And I was a bit nervous, to be honest, because sometimes I do be when I'm sharing the gospel with people. But once I step out, it flows, you know. But before that, if I'm being honest, I get a bit, oh, you know, fear can try to come at me. But anyway, I look behind and he's crying. There's tears flowing down his eyes. And he had his arm up in a bandage, you know. So that was an opportunity to pray with him straight away. So anyway, he shared different things about his life and brokenness and things like that. And long story short, he ended up sharing the gospel with him, and he gave his life to Jesus. And why am I saying that? I was singing the song, and as I was walking away from the Holy Spirit, put a song on my heart. And it says, praise, you know that song, praise is rising, hearts are turning to you. And the joy of God came on me. As I was floating up the road. But isn't that what God does, even when we're ministering to people? But God has a position for each one of us to be in. Whether that's walking up the road, regardless of where we are, God has things for us to do. The Macedonian call, and that's what I want to speak about now. It says, now when they had gone through, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, and it's in Acts 16, verse 6. It says, now when they had gone through Pacernia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Messiah, they tried to go into Bethsaida or something, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by, they came down to Taurus, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. I was thinking of that, you know, come over to Macedonia and help us. There was someone crying out in a place that needed God. And guys, that place, our society, our communities, our city, our nation, there's people all over the nation in their homes, broken, downcast, that need God. You know? And God, look what Paul does. It says, "Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Also, I want to look at, it says, Christ is preached to an Ethiopian. And this is where Philip goes out to a desert place. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" And I just thought this was unusual. It says, this is a desert. He could have thought, what is out there in that desert place? There's nothing out there. Well, he was being called by the Lord, and he obeyed the voice of God. "So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Canis, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I understand unless someone guides me, or someone tells me, or someone gives me instruction?'" Just give me a minute. "And he said, 'Philip, come up and sit with him.' The place in the scripture which he read was this," and which I think was powerful. It's all about Jesus. He says, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch asked Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this is, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture. He preached Jesus to him. "Now as they went down the roads, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" I just think that is powerful. You know, he was in a position, but he said, like, until Philip opened his mouth and spoke the word of God to him about Jesus, who Jesus was, you know. And I remember hearing Reinhard Bonnke, he's talking, he gave an illustration of the Spirit of God moving, and the Lord gave him an understanding of it. And he talked about in Genesis 1, and he says, God says, "Let there be light." But before that, there was darkness and matter and all that type of thing. But he said, the minute the spoken word was spoken, that the Spirit of God moved, and everything changed. So the word was being spoken, and the Spirit of God came and confirmed what the word was saying. And just as I was reading, I was thinking, you know, that God, there's a calling on each one of our lives. God has a calling. God has positioned us. God has chosen. The Bible says none is coming to him unless they're drawn by him. But we've been chosen. That we've been called. We're not here by accident. We're not here, you know, to play church or thing. We are the church. We're God's people. And I was just saying to the Sharon, the way God speaks, it's mind-blowing. That God, creator of heaven and earth, the creator of all things. I was watching this documentary on wildlife about the undersea, you know, all the different whales and different parts of the Antarctica and all these different things. And your man said on the video, he says, like under the sea, that these plants, it was like they were dancing. And I thought to myself, God puts plants under the sea to dance. And the specific places, for I have a bit of a fascination with whales, orca whales and all this type of thing. It's a bit of a dream. I'd like to go out whale watching. Probably out there. God knows. You never know. I might go one day, please God. But I just thought the amazement of it. That God has put a whale in the sea, in a Pacific place, out of Pacific, like, and he flourishes with everything for them. How much more for me and you? How much more for me and you? See, it's the truth. But sometimes we believe lies, that we're not who God says we are, that we're not as valuable as God says we are, but we're his treasured possession. He died on the cross for us. He paid the price in full for each one of us. He was nailed to the cross for us. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was despised, rejected. All of our sin was put on him that we could go free. He died that we could live. He died our death, each one of us. The penalty of death was, the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God in Christ Jesus is eternal life. You know? And so he has a plan for each one of us. And sometimes it can be scary stepping out and different things. But guys, and I'm talking to myself as I'm saying this to you, he's everything we need and more. There's nothing like him. And we're never doing it on our own. God has designed a way and called us. Like in the Old Testament, you know, look, the design, the way they built the temple is unbelievable. God was to the curtain poles, to the rings that went on it, everything was designed by God. It was the blueprint of heaven was given down. This is what you're to do. This is the way you're to do it. And it's the same in the church. God has given his gifts to the church. Jesus is the head of the church. We're the body of the church. There's the fivefold ministry that's going to, you know, that's been released into the church now. The fullness of God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. All these different things are for us, that we would carry out the works of service. Co-laboring with Christ. That we're not doing it on our own. He's leading us, but we get the honor and the privilege of working with him. Co-laboring with him. You know? Because it's not a yoke on us then. It's about, he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And 100% of the time, when the Lord uses me, I'm just content and just know that he is God. And I'm just being. The song came into my heart a few times over the last while. It says, be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. And when we can just be still in ourselves and know that our Father, our God, our Creator, who designed us, who created us, who made us, has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. Before the foundations of the earth, the Bible says, he's predestined us, he's called us, he's chosen us. And this is I was coming into church about 2 weeks ago, and I had like a picture, a vision. And I had a vision of a river. It was like a fountain. And as it went up, there was all other rivers off of it. And there was this like this rubber dinghy boat on the top of it. But it could have went, I seen all these seats in it. But it was just hovering on the top of the river. And then there was all different rivers. And it was like the Lord saying to me, I see myself seated in it. And it was like the Lord saying, just sit in the boat. I'll take you where I'm taking you. You know? Because sometimes we want to know exactly what river we're going on. But when we're in the river and we're being led, you know, the river represents the Spirit of God. When we're in that river, you know, the Bible talks about the good, pleasing, perfect will of God. It doesn't mean it's always easy. It doesn't mean Paul got sent to places where he knew he was going to be beaten. He was put in prison. But God's glory and it always advanced the kingdom of God. And this is only by the grace of God. This is not, you know, something that we can deal with in of ourselves. It's something that when we lay our lives down to the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes in and takes over our lives in a sense. That what I mean takes up, but we give our life to Him and He leads us and guides us and directs us for His glory. And I can see why it says Simon laid his life, his face was shone like an angel. These guys were getting martyred. These guys were laying their lives down before God. Ezekiel 47, and this is from the New King James Version. It says, the healing waters and the trees. And this word, Ezekiel 47, not only for us individually, but also for the nation of Ireland, is something I believe God is going to do. He's going to pour His Spirit out, and there's going to be such a mighty move of God. You know? And God wants us to partner with Him in that. God wants us to get on board. Get on just get in into your seat. Get into the position that God has for you. And I really believe God is going to speak. And there'll be a time later where God will speak to your heart and He will call you and He will let you know exactly where He wants you to be. Then He brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south of the altar. And this is just important. He said, He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the other gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the water that came up to my ankle. And I was just thinking of different seasons in God. You know, He bring me through the water. There's different seasons where God will bring you through the water that's 1,000 cubits. And then He'll bring you through knee deep, waist deep. And then it says that there was a river that was, just give us a sec. It's my little man. I'll read it out. It says, and when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the water. He brought me through it. And it was up to my ankle. Again, he measured off 1,000 and brought me through the water. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured another 1,000 and he brought me through the water that came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river. So it was like it was a progression. There was the ankle, there was the knee, there was the waist, but now it's a river. When you think about that, it's a big difference. It's a deeper place. It's a place of trust. It's a place of, you know, you think of someone learning to swim. I remember myself, when you're young, you know, you go in first, you probably have armbands on, then you have the board thing, then you're holding on to the side, and then you're released, you know? And the more you go into the river, the better you get. The more you step out and try different things. Probably start out with the doggy paddle, remember that? And we'd be in the canal, to be honest, when we were kids. But then before you know it, you're doing the backstroke. Before you know it, you're doing the breaststroke. Before you know it, you're doing all different things. And there's freedom in that. Because God is the one that keeps us afloat. You know? So it says, he said to me, son of man, do you see this? Then he ended up going into the river. And he says, son of man, do you see this? Then he brought me back and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the valley. And I was thinking that even there, this water goes down into the valley. We were talking about the valley earlier. And God's water goes down into the valley where all the dry bones are. It goes down into the darkest pits. It goes into places that most men probably wouldn't want to go. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, it's the ability of God working through us. You know, it's things that are by the love of God shed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that we're able to do these things. We're able to love people. We're able to go into places being non-judgmental and with the love of God. I remember going back a long time ago, I was living up in Ivy Gardens. And the time, and this, even sometimes saying, I remember saying it to someone, but I tell you, my heart broke. I remember seeing Saddam Hussein, which probably the whole world would point the finger at and say, he's an evil man, he's this, that, and the other. And he probably was. But Jesus died for him. And I was on the ground at the time, and the love of God that came into my heart from was mind-blowing. And I learned something from it. That God didn't come to judge, he came to save. You look at the Old Testament, and look at Nebuchadnezzar, who thought he was God, God had given him a kingdom, but he took all the glory for it. The Lord put him out in the field for 7 years and humbled him. But what did God do after it? He gave him double what he had. He restored his kingdom to him and gave him double. God raised up Pharaoh and gave him his kingdom. It's beyond their understanding. The blessings of God reign on the righteous and the unrighteous. God is good to everybody. And I was only talking to Noel a few weeks ago, and we were talking about gifts. And I was at home, and I was thinking, you know, of all gifts that God has bestowed on man, that God has created all everything. And I look at all, even the superstars and people have most amazing voices and footballers, and you can go on, the list is endless. But God has given all them that. And I don't know what, something hit me. I start crying. I says, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for not giving you a rightful place, for not giving you the glory, which is due your name. For you created all things, you know. Because he's a good father. You know, why did he go to, he went, he says, I go to prepare a place with my father, like Jesus. God, the Bible says that hell was prepared for Satan and his angels. Heaven was prepared for man. And when I remember the Holy Spirit showed me that, it changed my whole thinking. Because God takes no pleasure in a sin that dies. A soul that dies. He wants all to be saved, all to come to the knowledge of the truth. So when we see his heart and all of that, you know. It says, and I'll go on here, sorry, I'm going on. It says, and it should be that every living thing that moves where the rivers go will live. There will be great multitudes of fish, because where the water goes, there will be great multitudes of fish, for where the water's there. For they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it. And there will be places for spreading nets. Their fish will be of some kinds, like the fish of the great sea. And I was reading that, I was thinking, you know, I was thinking of evangelism, I was thinking of evangelists. There'll be places for spreading nets, there'll be places for throwing out the fishing rod. There's times that God will use you to probably bring in, I don't know what God has put on each person here. Could be 1 million people, could be 10 million, could be 10, could be 1. But whether it's 1 person or whether it's 1 million, it's important to God. Because Jesus left the 99 and went after the 1. You know? And on the back of all that, just, I believe the Lord wants to give us gifts today. You know? I really do. I felt, you know, that the Father wants to bestow gifts on his children. And there's natural gifts, as I was talking about already, but there's also spiritual gifts. And I'm going to read them out. And then I'm gonna go into something else, and I'll come back to that at the end. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, because they're needed. Spiritual gifts are needed in order to function and to move in God, because it's important in order to fulfill the mission that God has given us to fulfill. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be arrogant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by the dumb idols whenever you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all of them in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So each one of us gets gifts, but it's to bless each other, it's to encourage each other, it's to build the body up, and it's to bring the lost into the kingdom of God. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one as he wills. So what God is saying, that all of these gifts, the Bible says eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And I believe God is saying, I want to deposit gifts in each one of us as he wills. It's not God is depositing them in you. God is putting them inside you. It's your Father. So guys, I would say, I know that word came earlier about opening your heart to be healed. But I would say open your heart to receive. You know? Don't let this pass by you. Don't think it's a small thing. It's very important. And what I've seen as well, I've seen an alarm clock. I just want to go, I'll go back to the thing and we'll pray about that in a few minutes. But what I've seen was, I've seen an alarm clock going off. And I was like, you know, we all need alarm, well I do anyway. We all need alarm clocks in the morning to wake us up at a particular time. And today is the time in God, you know, that some of us probably need to be woken up in a good way. Because when the Spirit of God touches certain parts of our lives, he wakes us up. He awakens us to things. He opens our eyes to things. He gives us revelation of things. And only he can do that. And in Ezekiel chapter 3, this is when Ezekiel was called. And I just want to share a little few things on this. He said to me, Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll, then go and speak to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you. Fill your mouth with it. So I ate it, and it tasted sweet as honey in my mouth. And I thought about that. This was Ezekiel, his call. He was a prophet. He was seeing visions. God was giving him the whole book of Ezekiel. But he digested what God gave him. He ate it. He let it go into him. He accepted it. You know? And just that, the thing of the scroll, just as well, in when Jesus was out there being in the desert, he came out of the desert, he said, full of the Spirit. And I'll read it out. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and I thought that was, and everybody praised him. He went to Nazareth, and he had been brought up where he had been brought up. On the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. As was his custom, he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And that's important. He found the place where he said, "It is written." The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach, proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was accepting what was on him. Like, he was, "This is who I am. This is what I'm called to do." Yeah, he was God, but he became a man. And in Revelations 5, chapter 5, it talks about the scroll and the Lamb. "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, and a sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seal and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept, and because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, circled by four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went back and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and its soap and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God people from every tribe and language, people and nation, and you have made them to be kingdoms, to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.'" And just, you know, Jesus opened the scroll. Jesus made the way for each one of us to come in. You know, and I think that even no one was worthy in heaven or earth or under the earth. And God has made us all worthy through his blood. The blood of Jesus has made us right with God. The precious, precious blood of Jesus, that forgives us of all of our sins, that we can stand before him holy and blameless and free from accusation because of the blood of Jesus. You know, each one of us. And around the whole thing of gifts, and what I felt as well with the thing of the scroll, I felt that God wanted to call out some people. And God will, I'm just going to, this time, that God will speak to your hearts. You know, that we'll just stand up, if everyone would stand up. And just that we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit speaks, and he speaks to us all. There's none on the outside looking in. We're all on the inside. Guys, if you just put your hands out, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just that word, that thing that came as well about the spiritual gifts. The Bible says, eagerly desire them. We love you, Lord. We love you, O God. We adore you, O God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We adore you, O God. We worship you, O God. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, O God. We honor you, Lord God. We glorify your name, Lord. praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. We honor you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you that you're here, O God. Father, we thank you that that's your word, Father. Your truth, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, O God. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, in accordance with your word, Lord, Father, I just ask you right now, Lord, just to deposit things, Lord, that you want to deposit in your people, Lord. Father, open the eyes of their hearts. Father, open their ears to hear, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, O God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, O God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just all them gifts, that the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of faith, the gift of healings, the interpretation of tongues, the prophecy, miraculous powers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, just sweep through your people, Lord. And guys, you are all worthy because of what Jesus has done. He has made us worthy. He has made us acceptable. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We magnify your name, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. Simon there, just to put my Simon there. I just want to play whatever, just a soft song. Just gentle. Thank you, Lord. Guys, if anyone wants to come up to us, we've elders here, we've leaders here. We've still 10 minutes. And just that, you know, there's also of the laying on of hands. And it's common in Acts where they laid hands on and people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. People were, if you want to come forward as well, feel free. Or if you want prayer for anything, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And if anyone wants, just out of thing, share with each other. If God has deposited something, God has said something to you around what gift you've been given. Own that gift. Thank you, Lord.